Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. John says, "And I saw to the right of the one sitting upon the throne." In some English text, it says to the right hand. There is no word for hand in the Greek text. And it's making really a statement regarding to the right side, just to the right of the one sitting on the throne. There's no hand there. A scroll. Most English texts say it's a book. There's a book in his hand. There were no books until around the 2nd century A.D., when books began to be circulated as a codex, is what it's called, C-O-D-E-X, or codices, as the scriptures know them. The scriptures were not in single pages until sometime in the 2nd century. We're talking about a scroll here. This is a scroll. And what is interesting about these scrolls is that they are just one sheet, and they're rolled up at the ends until they come to the middle. So it actually unfolds left and right, out. This is a scroll. Actually, the book of Revelation in scroll form is 15 feet long, the book of Revelation. But this is a different scroll. Upon the one who is sitting upon the throne, there is a scroll, having been written on the inside and on the back, having been sealed in 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a great voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break the seals of it?" And no one was able in heaven, nor upon the earth, nor under the earth, to open the scroll, neither to see it. And I was weeping much. Notice the imperfect tense. I was weeping much. Convulsively, he's weeping because no one was found worthy. Because no one worthy was found to open and to read the scroll, neither to see it. And one from out of the elders says to me, "Stop weeping." That's the literal translation. "Behold the lion, the one being from out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, overcame to open the scroll and to break the 7 seals of it. And I saw, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders, a lamb had been standing as having been slain." This is not the word for murder. This is the word for slaughter or butcher. This is what the Lord looks like. This is how we're going to see him at the throne. He will be as a lamb that had been slain. We're going to see the marks of the crucifixion on the Lord, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. Which are the 7 spirits of God, the ones having been sent out into all the earth. And he came and had taken the scroll from out of the right of the one sitting upon the throne. And when he took the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each having harps and golden bowls being full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to open the seals of it, because you were slain," again the word for butcher, "and you purchased us to God in your blood, out from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you made us to our God priests and kings, and we will reign upon the earth." And I saw and I heard the sound of many angels from around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. That's how it literally reads. In the Greek language, the word myriads is the highest, it represents the highest number you can count. It's generally translated as 10,000. But myriads of myriads would be 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, more than a couple of angels, saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb, the one who has been slain or slaughtered, to receive the power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And all of creation, which is in heaven and in the earth and under the earth, and what things are upon the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying to the one who is sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb," so both together now, they were saying, "Blessing, the blessing and the honor and the glory and the might forever and ever." And the four living creatures were saying, interesting, continuously, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell and gave worship to the one living forever and ever. What a sight. Chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation is the scene around the throne. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John says that it was the beginning of the third section of the book of Revelation, that Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 20 is what he saw. That's the vision of Christ. Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were the things of the church. And now in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, is the things that are matatauta after these things. So everything from chapter 4, verse 1, on to the end is the third section of the book of Revelation. John has been caught up in the Spirit. He is exiled off on the island of Patmos as a prisoner, but spiritually he was caught up in the Spirit in order to see future events. This is one of the great ministries about God's Word, is that John was allowed to see and made to see in the spirit realm the future that was about to happen while it was happening. In other words, right now, today, what we're experiencing today, God's already been there. We're actually, for us, this is our first time around, but this, we're actually living out a rerun. It's already happened. God already knows everything. The end of the world's already happened in God's eyes. It just hasn't happened yet. But it helps us see who God is. He is not limited to our time-space domain. He lives outside of our time-space domain. We live in a realm of about three, scientists even say four, dimensions, including time, which is a physical property. God is not limited by time, or height, or length, or width. Scientists say once you leave our atmosphere that you enter into a realm that is actually 10-dimensional. The other day, the astronauts, I guess it was yesterday, had a 7-hour spacewalk to repair the space shuttle or the station that they're docked at. That's 7 hours our time. For them, it was much less. Because once you leave our atmosphere, time slows down until there is some place in the universe where there is no time. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He is the eternally existent God. There is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. It's only now. That's a message to us from the Word of God. There is no tomorrow. Because when you get there, it's today. But we worry about tomorrow. Not even here yet. And yesterday's gone. It's only now. So in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we have the events around the throne. Chapter 5 has not happened yet. But it will follow the events of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 sets the stage for Revelation chapter 5. In chapter 4, verses 2 through 8, we saw what's around the throne. He saw nine things. He says, first of all, I saw a throne. Secondly, I saw someone sitting upon the throne that had the appearance of jasper and a sardius stone, meaning red and whites emanating out from the throne. Thirdly, a rainbow was around the throne, representing God's covenant, his promise to us even, that we're going to be in heaven with him by promise. And it was an emerald, appearance of an emerald, which is green. Fourthly, he saw 24 thrones, and then he saw 24 elders sitting upon the thrones, each of them with white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And as we explained to you, that represents the church. At the end of chapter 5, we will see that these elders sing a song of redemption. The Lord has saved them and redeemed them. Representative of the church around the throne. Sixthly, he saw lightnings and thunders and sounds emanating out from behind the throne. God's judgment is about to take place. He saw seven lamps burning in front of the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now remember from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that this revelation is shown to John through signs and symbols. Seven is the number of completeness. What he saw was the complete and full ministry of God's Spirit before the throne. Eighthly, he saw a glassy sea as the pavement area in front of the throne was like crystal. Ninth, he said he saw four living creatures around the throne. Then in chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, the activities around the throne, that whenever the four living creatures, emphasis on whenever they did this, whenever they gave worship and honor to the one sitting upon the throne, 24 elders would fall down and begin to worship, and they would throw their crowns at the feet of the one sitting on the throne. And as we progress through this book, we will see that everything's done in order in God's kingdom. The four living creatures are going to be the leaders. The 24 elders are going to respond to whatever the four living creatures do. And we're going to respond to the 24 elders as we're out on this glassy sea. They're giving praise and honor and glory to the one sitting on the throne. But in chapter 5 now, the scene has been set. Something takes place. There are four sections in chapter 5, and each section begins with, and I saw. Chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw. We're going to study about the scroll. Secondly, in verses 2 through 5, we have the search. In verses 6 through 10, we have the Savior. And verses 11 to the end, we have 11 to 14, we have the songs of praise. Each section begins with, and I saw, kai eidon, for those of you following in your Greek text, it's marked that way. Take verse 1. John says, and I saw to the right of the one sitting upon the throne a scroll having been written on the outside and on the back and having been sealed in seven seals. Now, this isn't anything new to Jewish culture or even Jewish custom. In the Old Testament, there are a couple of places where these scrolls are found. In Ezekiel chapter 2, along with Jeremiah chapter 32. And Jeremiah chapter 32 gives us the most detailed account of how these scrolls work. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah was locked up in the king's prison for 7 years. His fault? He prophesied that the king of Babylon would take Jerusalem and take the king captive, and that the king, Zedekiah, would have no chance or success against the king of Babylon. Well, the king of Jerusalem says, I don't like that. I'm going to lock you up. And he kept saying to Jeremiah, what is the reason why you prophesied that way? And Jeremiah says, Yahweh God said to me, and I relayed to you, that the city is going to be taken. And you will have no success against the insurgency of the king of Babylon. Well, the king just says, well, lock him back up again, you know. What? He says, I have to be true to what God's word says. But then something happened. God told Jeremiah to go and purchase a piece of land from the son of his uncle. And so he was led out to go and buy that piece of land. And when he purchased the land, they drew up a title deed to the property. And they put all of the details of the sale and of the property in this title deed, this scroll. And depending upon how many parts there are to this contract, depended upon how many seals it was sealed with. Because they would roll up a portion. And a witness would come and they would seal it and he would be the witness to that. They'd roll it up some more. And if it was a second part of the contract, somebody would come along and seal it. But it had to be a different witness than the first one. If you have seven parts to this scroll or to this legal document, you have to have seven different witnesses. And then it's rolled up and sealed. And then on the back of this scroll, facing the outside, it tells who is worthy, that's the Greek word, axios, but the Hebrew word is the word eligible. Who is worthy or who is eligible to even look at the scroll? In other words, if our county records did it this way now, if you went down to the county and you said, I want to see the scroll or the contract for Sisqua Community Church, they would go and look on the outside to see if you're listed there as one of the people who's eligible to look at it. Not break the seals, but just look at it. They come back and they tell you, you're not eligible. You're not worthy. And so Jeremiah went to this and purchased this field, and what they did is they took the contract, the scroll, and they put it into a jar. And they buried it on the property. Jeremiah has a copy, but this was put there because when the king of Babylon comes through and takes them captive, later on when they come back to the property, they can dig it up and say, this property is mine. Here's the title deed to the property. And that's what they did in those days. You kept a copy. You buried a copy, and it's the buried copy that is the one that is the legal document. It's called a property or title deed. They also made wills this way, but wills didn't carry that much by way of different parts for to put a seal on it. What we have here to the right of the one sitting on the throne is the title deed to the earth. The title deed to the earth. When the Lord came, not only did he die for us on the cross to redeem us and pay the price for us, but for all of creation. We will see later in our readings in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation groans, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God and their redemption. All of creation is going, we're affected by sin too. Come on, all of creation is hurting. And so what John saw was a scroll having writing on the inside and on the back. And it had been sealed with seven seals. And again, the number seven is the word completeness. Now for the search. In verses 2 to 5. And I saw, here we go again with our section marker, kaidon. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a great voice, here's what the angel said, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break the seals of it. So the pronouncement was made throughout heaven for everybody to hear. Who is worthy? Who is eligible to take this scroll out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne who lives forever and ever? It's God. All silence. No response from anyone. John's kind of looking around like, nobody comes. We've had it. All of history now is focused right here on this one event. If there is no one worthy, if there is no kinsman redeemer to come and claim the property, then all's lost, even our redemption. So he waits. John says in verse 3, no one was able in heaven, nor in the earth, nor under the earth, to open the scroll, neither to see it. Nobody. Zero. Verse 4. And I was weeping much, John said. He just didn't cry. He was crying convulsively, in hysterics, that all of history would come to this point. No one was worthy to take the scroll, to open it, to loose the seals, or to see it. So he says, I was weeping much, because no one worthy was found to open and to read the scroll, neither to see it. So everybody in heaven is just kind of standing there, and John's crying. And one from out of the elders says to me, stop weeping. That's the literal translation. Behold, the lion, the one being from out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, overcame. The word for conquering, past tense, overcame and conquered to open the scroll and to break the seven seals of it. So he makes this declaration. Stop crying, because there is someone who is eligible and who is worthy. And he tells him who this person is. First of all, he describes him as the lion who is from out of the tribe of Judah. See, when Jesus came to the earth, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. When he comes back, he's going to come back as a lion, not as a lamb. He is a lion, the one from out of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah is a messianic title in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is prophesied as coming. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14 says that this lion will spring out from the tribe of Judah, even in the New Testament. Secondly, not only the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, but the root of David comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 10. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 10, the root of David. All derived from the Old Testament. These are messianic titles. The Messiah is the one who is worthy. He says he's worthy because he overcame. He conquered. The root word in Greek is the word Nike. That's where our word Nike comes from, the company that makes the tennis shoes. And because Nike means victory, conquering, overcome. When Jesus came, he overcame. He defeated Satan, he defeated sin, and he defeated death. So death does not have any hold on God's people. Death is actually a release, not a prison. Jesus conquered sin, Satan, and death. So much so that John in 1 John, one of my favorite books, 1 John chapter 4 at verse 3, John warns the Christians that the spirit of Antichrist has come out into the world. But he says in 1 John 4, 4, but you have overcome them. What is called a perfect tense. It's already happened. But you have overcome them because greater is the one who is in you than the one who's in the world. So I have Jesus Christ living inside of me. I'm not following a religion. I literally have received the Spirit of Christ into my spirit. And he is greater than Satan or anything that Satan can bring against me. The Bible says that the person who is born of the Spirit of God and knows Jesus Christ, they are already overcomers. Already. You don't have to get saved and then work hard at overcoming. As if salvation is like an opportunity, but you might not make it. A believer is never challenged to be an overcomer. All of those messages, you remember the seven messages to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3? To each one of those, Jesus says, to the one who is overcoming, the present participle, you're already doing it. Why? Because the overcomer, the one who conquered, the one who won the victory lives inside of me. Therefore, I will overcome. And one day I will stand before him. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, all of these words I have spoken unto you, so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I've already conquered Satan. And in a minute, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to conquer sin. And I'm going to die on that cross and they're going to put me in a tomb. And guess what? I'm going to rise from the dead and conquer death. And all of that is yours. Because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, sin shall not have a grip on me. and my sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. He defeated Satan. I have no power to defeat Satan. Jesus does. And he has already defeated him. He has the victory. And then just to know that he defeated death, so that death would not hold us. At the end of Romans chapter 8, Paul says that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. No stress, nor difficulty, nor hardship, not even sin, and not even death shall separate us from the love of Christ. Because he is the victor. He has conquered all of these things. And I am going to overcome because of the Lamb who came to be the sacrifice for sin. I can be saved and stand before you as saved this morning. Then there is the Savior. We're going to save that for next week. A description of this lamb that has been butchered, slaughtered. He will come out after the introduction. We're told about the scroll. We're told about the search for someone who's eligible to take the scroll. And if nobody's eligible, that's it. That's the end of history. No redemption. But the elder makes the announcement. He didn't say Jesus. He says the lion from out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He overcame to open and to break the seals of the book and to see it. And when he shows up on the scene, there will be worship of myriads, thousands, maybe millions of angels. Because remember, all of creation now, everything up in heaven has just been like frozen. Because the word went out, who's worthy? Everybody's waiting, you know. Here's the great moment in history, and no one was found. Except the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He will come. When we see the Lord in heaven at the throne, we will see him with the marks of crucifixion on him. He will be the Lamb that was slain until we get to Revelation chapter 19, and he comes back to earth riding on a white horse in order to kill the enemies. And we rule and reign with him upon the earth. What a picture. What a scene to understand. All of history is focused now on this. Next week, we're going to talk about the Savior. Why he has the appearance that he does. He has seven horns and seven eyes. That's kind of weird, but that's all symbolic. Seven horns. Horns always represented power and authority. And eyes for seeing. He has all power and all authority, and he sees everything and knows everything. The Lamb who was slain. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we, before it even happens, we can stand at the throne of God and witness this event that someday is going to happen, but we're watching it as it happens. That one day Jesus is going to step out from the midst of the throne, and he will be the only one worthy to take the scroll, the title deed to the earth, and to break its seals, and judgment poured out, and then redemption will come. Again, as we come to realize and experience the frailty of our human frame, the weakness of our physical body, and how transitory this world system is, how temporary, cause us to be encouraged, to look to that day when we too will be able to see this great event. We're told in the scriptures that our redemption draws near. What a wonderful time that will be. No more pain, no more suffering. The Lord's going to wipe away every tear, because on the other side of this time and physical domain that we live in is the wonderful presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that we would look to you as our strength from within. that we would not take the bait of the deception of Satan to try to get us roped into the difficult and hard times around us. But we pray that we would experience your peace and your joy as we move closer and closer to that day that we too will be told, come up here. And we too will be able to see and experience all of these things. Pray that this would be our comfort and our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.